Seeing beyond 2020, I got it. Sports Vision, I got it. The best company to partner with when it comes to Sports Vision, I got it. On today's podcast, I have an incredible guest. That's right. This young man will educate you about everything that you need to know about the world of Sports Vision and help elevate your practice as well. I want you to stay tuned, tap in. Today, I get to hang out with the one and only Dr. Keith Smithson.
This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Super excited to be here on a Defocus Media podcast with the one and only sports guru, the man that has all the answers. That's going to educate us. We're going to keep it at a high level today, but we're also going to dive a little deep. I know that sounds kind of confusing, but just tune in, just listen. Dr. Keith, how you doing today, my friend?
Hey, Dr. Daryl, how you doing, my friend? Great.
Man, I'm super excited because, you know, the world of sports vision is actually something that's actually pretty close to me, right? When I first started in the world of eye care, I was a technician for a doctor by the name of Dr. Michael Peters down in Wakefield, North Carolina. And he was the sports vision doctor for a team that I was a part of known as Eye Care Associates before we got acquired by my eye doctor. And man, I had the opportunity to work up some athletes and I had the opportunity to learn a little bit more about the world of sports vision. And the cool thing that I really enjoyed was having conversation with the athletes and learning more about their backgrounds. But, you know, that was one piece. The piece that I really love was what the doctor was doing. And that's why I'm super excited to have you on today to talk about this world. Now, before we get started, we got to learn a little bit about you. We got to learn about your background, where you're from, your why, how you got into eye care, and then we can get the party started after that. Does that sound like a game plan to you, my friend?
I love it, man. Absolutely. Let's have some fun, buddy.
All right, man. Let's do it.
Yeah. So, you know, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I mean, it's always a pleasure to kind of talk with people that are excited and engaged and love what they do, just like Dr. Glover here. So, you know, again, our passion is sort of, you know, getting others to be as passionate as we are about what we do, man. We do some cool stuff in optometry, don't we? Right.
Absolutely.
So, so thanks for having me on. You know, quick background. I grew up in Central Pennsylvania, so I grew up playing sports my whole life. So it was one of those things that I sort of, you know, I came to over time is, you know, what can I do to stick around the things that I loved, which was playing sports and being around sports. And, you know, I was always kind of a bio kid and liked the whole medicine road. And so for me, it was really kind of finding a way that I could marry two things that I love, which was, you know, medicine and taking care of people. And the vision side of things was sport. And it was just, you know, kind of a natural marriage. So I went to the University of Delaware, played soccer at the University of Delaware. Now I'm coaching my kids and kind of being around sports forever. So at this point, I practice outside of Washington, D.C. So we call it Northern Virginia up here. There's a multitude of different offices. I have six offices. I'll call around the D.C. Beltway, they call it here in D.C. but we're officially on staff with pretty much every professional sports team in D.C. So we get a chance to do some cool things, work with athletes every day, whether it be preseason physicals, whether it be injury management, whether it be a basic contact lens fitting. But, you know, I think one of the things for me, man, is making sure that, you know, we find a way to demystify the sports vision thing, right? I mean, there's so many of our colleagues out there that say, well, I'm not a sports vision doctor, right? So what does a sports vision doctor even mean, right? So I'm not a sports vision doctor because I don't work with a team. Well, I promise you that everybody listening to this podcast is going to see an athlete this week, right? Somebody's going to come into their office that's either playing 10-year-old soccer or a 16-year-old baseball player, or they're a 65-year-old golfer, right? I mean, they are all athletes, right? So the thing for me and for our, you know, my partners in Sports Vision Pros is demystifying sport vision so that all of us can meet the needs of the athletes we see every day. And that's sports vision to me, man. So it's not rocket science, dude. It's sports and vision tied together, buddy.
I love it. I love it. And you know, that's the reason why I wanted to have this conversation with you. I was actually chatting with one of my colleagues, Dr. Moody over at Johnson & Johnson Vision. And shout out to Johnson & Johnson Vision for partnering with us on this podcast. You know, without them, this podcast would not be able to happen. So thank you for partnering with Defocus Media. We really appreciate it. But when I was talking to him, he was like, man, you gotta speak to Keith, man. Like, this guy, he understands it. He understands how to take, you know, seeing beyond 2020 to the next level. It's more than just, you know, what you see on a chart. it's something that you can dive deep into and elevate, not just an athlete life, but anyone's life, right? Sure. Like, you got to get past that point. And today I'd really like to maybe start there. You know, what does it mean to see beyond 2020?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I just had this conversation yesterday with somebody, a little kid, actually. And I said, what does vision mean to you? Like, what's the word vision mean, right? So if you talk to the majority of the public, the vision, you know, word means I see a chart clearly at the other side of the room. Right. I mean, that's about it, man.
Yep.
You know, I see it clearly. So my vision is good. Well, you know, vision for me as sort of a sports and performance vision specialist is looking at the things that go beyond 2020. Right. I mean, that's seeing a stationary target from a stationary position. And how many sports and environments of dynamic focus involve a lot more than seeing a stationary target. So, you know, we have peripheral vision needs, we have depth perception components, we have muscular focus things that we can evaluate. And, you know, now the neurological side of things, right? You know, visual reaction speed, visual processing capabilities, all of those things to us in the sports vision world are vision, right? There's just so much more to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the cool thing, and you mentioned J&J, I mean, they've been an innovator for years, and I've worked with that company back, almost 25 years at this point, just because I've always been impressed with them pushing the envelope of visual performance. And visual performance, you know, is not, you know, exclusive to athletes and people that we're seeing that, you know, necessarily play a sport. But, you know, look at the visual needs of someone who drives down an 8-lane highway on the way home or works with, you know, 3 computer screens at their job all day long. Right. You know, they have dynamic visual needs. So I think one of the cool things, you know, from the sports side is, you know, learning lessons about visual skills and then applying those lessons to the patients we see every day that, you know, really want to maximize their performance on the field or off, right?
Yeah, I love it. And one word one phrase that I love that you just mentioned was dynamic visual needs, right? I think this is very powerful. This is very strong. This is how we change the way we prescribe in the exam lane, right?
Yeah.
We can really look at a patient's lifestyle, the activities that they do, whether it's on the court, off the court, on the field, off the field. That's going to really elevate their lifestyle. And they're going to always want to come back to you because they understand that they're not just a number, right? They are someone that you are working with, that you're partnering with to elevate their lifestyle. And when it comes to sports vision, I kind of look at sports vision as almost a duplicate of just regular life vision, right? Because you want to always elevate and take it to the next level with that patient that's sitting in front of you.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, it's all about communication, Daryl. I mean, that's why I've been working with teams for 25 years and, you know, getting the privilege of being, you know, in locker rooms and at spring training and working with athletes and, you know, establishing those relationships is all about communication, right? Having an understanding of what they need and then delivering on those expectations. And, you know, that's no different to the patient that kind of come into your office tomorrow and say, you know, I'm having challenges in my vision. Well, you know, our next question as docs is going to be, well, tell me about those challenges, right? So maybe my eyes are really stinging and burning at the end of the day. Maybe I have challenges with different lighting conditions. Maybe I, you know, feel strain at the end of a long computer day. So you're going to ask questions about their needs and their chief complaints and their problems, right? So the athlete world is no different. You know, what are the needs that they have? And, you know, understanding those needs comes with starting the communication link. And if you don't understand the sport, which happens to me as well, right? I mean, I get, you know, a guy who comes in and plays cricket. You know, I've never played cricket, man. I mean, I know it's got a bat and a ball and it's really hard to do, but I don't know much about it. So, you know, the questions then come from me. You know, what, tell me about the ball. You know, what color is the ball? Do you play in day games or night games? Are you a guy who's having trouble hitting the ball or kind of fielding the ball? But the more you understand about their needs, look, we're the expert on the visual skills side, right? I mean, they're the expert maybe at their game. But the more I understand about their needs, the more I can meet those needs. It's communication, man.
Communication is king. It's no doubt about that. I would love to dive a little more deeper into this communication piece, right? You know, as doctors, we are able to examine patients, have communication with them, but, you know, certain settings are limited in the amount of time that they may have with that patient. So I'm curious, do you dive deep into, you know, what they do, or are you leveraging your technician more? Are you leveraging the front desk? Is there a questionnaire prior to them even coming into your practice? What does that look like? That way, because it seems like you get all the information and you're able to deliver, you know, that dynamic vision for them. But what does that communication look like, and where does it truly start before they even see you?
Yeah, I mean, it truly starts before they walk in the office, right? So they're filling out their online intake questionnaire. Then they're meeting with one of our technicians to run through a basic pre-testing like anyone else. And again, my practice, I have six offices. We have 13 docs. We have the basics of vision care that everyone in the country, everyone in the globe is essentially going through. You know, it's not like they're running through some special type of equipment that I have that's proprietary that nobody else has. I'm doing the things that everyone else is doing, man. I mean, I might have some extra cool little toys that are fun to play with and give me some extra bits of data, but we're running through a basic workup with, retinal imaging and, pressure testing and autorefraction and stuff that, anyone else would be doing, right? But like you said, the questions are there is, what brings you in today? Right. What brings you in today is how it starts. Well, I'm in here today because I broke my sunglasses, right? Or I'm here because my mom has glaucoma, or I'm here because my coach tells me I'm having trouble hitting the ball at night. That question opens the door, right? So then I get a chance to piggyback on top of that in the exam lane. And again, if I understand the sport, if I know the sport, then we'll kind of jump right into it. But if I need to learn the sport, I mean, dude, one of the greatest things we have in optometry is working with shooters. People that are competitive shooters, people that are recreational shooters. And there's a lot of different shooters out there that use different weapons to shoot pistols and rifles and shotguns. And they have different targets and different things that are sometimes dynamic, sometimes static. I don't know all those things, man. So I'm asking those questions about, tell me about your game and what you need, because I can deliver on the need. And I'm telling you, those guys spend a lot of money, man. So from a business standpoint, you're going to sell a whole bunch of glasses if you know how to fit shooters.
And I guess the key thing is just asking the questions, right? The more you ask, the more information you have and the best solution that you can provide, whether it's glasses, whether it's contacts, whether it's sports goggles, whatever it may be. But the key thing, to your point earlier, is truly communication. Now, I want to kind of circle back to something that you just touched on, shooters, because I have these folks coming to my office. There's a shooting range not too far away from my location. And, one thing that I've always struggled with is just really trying to set them up with the right setup, as far as, if it's a multifocal option, distance, or even glasses, and they're trying to aim. What advice and tips would you give in regards to that? Just high level, nothing that's too in the weeds, but, that's always a difficult thing with new docs and those that may not see those patients as much.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, honestly, and it's just going to sound a little bit off the wall, but my number one advice.
We like off the wall here, man. So that's fantastic.
it's bringing your equipment, man. I mean, I need to see what you use. So, someone who's a high level shooter who is doing this more than just, recreationally in the backyard, but somebody who actually is taking it seriously and trying to compete well, they may not be going to international competitions, but they're shooting against their buddies at the range. And they want to be good at what they do, just like the guy who's playing tennis against, his friend at the club. He still doesn't want to lose, man. So I say bring in your equipment, right? So, I mean, they're obviously going to be very safe about it. They're going to bring in locked up equipment. We're going to have things non-loaded. I mean, everything's going to be safe. I work with Olympic shooters. They have to bring in their weapon and show me the way that they need to be focused. Because to your point, Daryl, it's very different, man. Some people are going to have to stay focused on a front sight. Imagine a pistol, right? Holding your arm extended and needing to see the front sight. And in that type of shooting, they don't want to see anything at distance. It can be a complete blur at distance as long as they're clear at their front sight. So I can physically measure the distance to the front sight and say, look, I need a 32-inch focal point. Look, anybody in the world can measure a 32-inch focal point, but they got to ask the question to know that they need to measure a 32-inch focal point, right?
Gotcha.
A guy who, like you said, who might be at the club shooting, trap or skeet, a shotgun type of sport, they're not looking at their gun at all. Yeah. It's all dynamic movement. It's all muscle movement. And it's looking at the targets. And in that case, they want the target clear, but not necessarily the weapon. So, it leads you down different roads of, let's say, multifocal contact lenses, something that might be a single focus, maybe even monovision or a bifocal. But, we know how to do all those things. We just need to know what they need, right?
100%. So that makes me feel better, because now I understand that I need to dig a little deeper, right? Because initially I'm just thinking of shooting, we need to get this, but I need to look at more of, is it a stationary object? Is it a dynamic object? There's a lot of pieces that you have to factor in. And something that you touched on is, just trying to figure out the right multifocal option. And, I'm super excited that we're partnering with Johnson & Johnson Vision, because they have a multifocal option out there that has really changed the game.
Yeah.
And I know this has really changed in regards to, those patients that come in and they're trying to aim and they're trying to shoot, because they have that technology that really makes it a lot easier when it comes to shooting in that type of arena. Now, something else I wanted to touch on, because I think this is a hot topic right now. And again, a lot of colleagues out there, they've messaged me and they're saying, hey, I would love for someone to come in and touch, you know, on concussions, because to your point, there are a lot of athletes out there. Sometimes when we think about athletes, we think about just the professional, right? But we got to keep in mind that there are a lot of students, a lot of kids, middle school, high school, and even younger, that are out there playing sports. And as, you know, we get a little more competitive, sometimes it can lead to concussions. And these patients come to us first, right? Or they go to their physician and then they send them our way. What's the best way to approach concussions when a patient comes into your practice?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, the concussion patient is no different than any other patient, really, in some respects. As far as the basics of optometry, it's trying to meet their needs. And really, I think, number one, not being afraid of opening the door to that person, right? And it's not even an athlete all the time, Daryl. I mean, I would tell you 70% of the patients that I see every day that are coming in with concussion are a mom that fell off a chair in the kitchen, or, you know, an auto accident, or, you know, something that happened that led to a concussion. And so they're not necessarily athletes, but they're coming in with post-concussion vision symptoms, which, you know, frankly, we can all manage, right? That's something about, you know, maybe there's some light management issues. Maybe there's light sensitivity afterwards, right? I mean, we can deal with photochromic technologies. We can put them into sunglasses. We can do something that might manage that. They may have accommodative issues that came out of the concussion. And so we put them into some kind of multifocal technology, or you at least manage that for the short term of their recovery. You know, they may have other issues related to, one of the most common things we see is convergence issues, right? So convergence insufficiency is a massive opportunity. So, I mean, I've done multiple lectures all over the country talking about optometry's role in concussion. I think it's a massive opportunity for us, Daryl. I think it's something where the overall medical professionals are really looking for optometry to take the lead in concussion management, because we are truly the functional visual specialists. You know, our ophthalmologist colleagues are truly physical, and I look at us as more functional, right? I mean, that's my perspective on it. And people always say, what's the difference ophthalmology, optometry? I said, well, they're the surgeons, right? So you got an ACL injury, you got the surgeon, and then you got the physical therapist afterwards that's dealing with the functional side. So for me on the concussion end, man, it's really just making sure that we're opening the door to these people, doing what we can do, you know, managing their symptoms to the best of our ability. And if you need to refer out for maybe higher level care, you know, maybe some vision therapy, vision training, things like that, if you're not doing that in-house, there's somebody close by that there's a colleague of yours that would be happy to take the ball and run with it after 2/3 of the management is done if they need to do some visual rehab. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a massive opportunity. I just got done working with the Department of Defense on literally writing the first, you know, concussion document on vision treatment that's going to be published, and it's going to be a global resource. So it's going to be something that directs into optometry, like truly into us. And I'm telling you, we've lost scope of care because we haven't taken the ball and run with concussion management. Yeah. And a lot of basic things, Daryl, that you and I know from, I mean, this goes way back further for me than you, man. But, you know, optometry school, where we were using Brock strings and, you know, basic little vision training stuff. You remember all that stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff, man, we've lost that stuff. That is already inside a physical therapist's office. That's inside an athletic trainer's office, vestibular therapist's office. We've lost scope of care because we as a profession said, you know, we don't want to do that. It's too basic. It doesn't have any science behind it. And so we've already lost a lot of basic vision training to people that wanted to learn how to do it, which is physical therapists. So that's kind of a shame, man.
That, you know, you bring up a great point, right? Because when we think about those Brock strings and things of that nature, it's not sexy, right? So we're like, the hell with that, push it to the side. But in reality, those are the pieces of optometry that we need to protect, right? It's one thing to expand your scope, but we also got to protect what we currently have. And when you let things like that go, the foundational things, that can really change how optometry is viewed. That can really change how we practice as well, because then it takes someone that's out of our knowledge arena. They're taking that information, they're using it, and it actually kind of looks bad, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can certainly tell I'm all about sexy, Daryl. I mean, that's my word, man, right?
Well, I mean, it's a real deal. I mean, like, we always, when we think about, you know, scope expansion, protecting rights, we always think, you know, we need lasers, we need this, but we truly need to protect some of the basics, right? And I think one of the most basic things that we need to protect is our refraction, right? Your refraction is everything. Folks come into your practice because of your refraction. We do have patients come in because of concussions and because of, you know, other things, but majority of the patients that come in is because they want to be able to see. And that's one thing that we as optometrists never need to let go. So you always need to explain your refraction. You need to make sure that you give the ultimate refraction. You need to explain why they need to come see you for that refraction and use that as the gateway into more of the medical piece, more into the sports vision piece, because that's what's going to change the game. And that's what's going to keep our foundational approach solid, but be able to build and expand upon that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you're the best at what you do, Daryl. That's the first slide that I put on every sport vision lecture is a picture of a ferropter and talk about refraction. I mean,
it's
the bedrock of what we do, man. Like, you know, without that, you know, optometry doesn't exist, right? So, you know, in giving it over to opticians and technicians and having people do a refraction for you is, I think, a good starting point. But look, man, we went to school for refraction. We learned that as the bedrock of our profession, and then we built on all these other layers, right? But, you know, sometimes that is where it starts and that's where it ends. I've had people come in with concussive issues that, you know, they can't be sorted out with a Brock string and whatever who they've been seeing for 3 months, and they're a +3 hyperope. Mm. Guess what? I can fix that, right? And they're going to be dealing with concussion symptoms forever. You know, they just simply lost some of their compensation abilities after the TBI. And I put them in a pair of glasses and all of a sudden they go back to work. They go back to life. Their headaches are gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it starts with refraction. If there's, you know, a significant amount of astigmatism correction, you know, maybe some anisometropia, some stuff that just, you know, kind of throws in a little bit of a wrench to muscular focus that you were able to compensate for really well before the injury, you know, you kind of lose those compensation abilities. So dude, it always starts with refraction, man, for everything, for sports patients and concussion patients alike.
Amen to that, my friend. Amen to that. Now, I want to circle back and touch on an organization that you mentioned earlier that you have partnered with for many, many years. And, you know, I want to kind of dive a little deeper into that partnership with Johnson & Johnson Vision.
Yeah.
Because when I think about sports vision, you know, I don't think about that brand being at the top of the list. But now that we're having this conversation, I'm thinking about, you know, if someone's an athlete and they have a concussion and they have an accommodation issue and sure. they have a light sensitivity issue, the Acuvue Oasys Max One Day is actually a great option because it gives them that accommodation help and it has that blue light protection built into it. So I'm curious to know, you know, why partner with them and then also, you know, maybe share some of the stories of some of the products that you might have used to elevate an athlete's life, if you don't mind sharing that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, it's there. I think one of the things you have to be open to when working with athletes, especially, you know, in one of the opportunities I have with professional athletes is I'm going to get a chance to touch that athlete one time. You know, I may see them one time preseason, and then once we get rolling into the season, it's hard to get them out of training facilities and into the offices. So, you know, you have to be open to there's not a one size fits all. And we all know that in practice, right? So
absolutely.
You know, from Alcon to Cooper to B&L, J&J, they all make great products that have some variable features that could be the most beneficial for that athlete at that given time. But yeah, from J&J, man, I mean, I've been working with them back almost 25 years where they built together a consortium of sort of docs that we did around the Olympics. And this is almost 20 years ago,
wow.
You're talking about vision performance and what that means and what technologies could be evolved from there. And I would tell you, there's a lot of things that came out of those conversations in some of the technologies we use in sports and performance vision, some of the eye tracking technologies, some of the basic visual skills technologies that are out there. But certainly from a contact lens innovation standpoint, you know, something like the Oasys Transitions lens, which was a unique lens that there was nothing like it in the marketplace or in the world when they built that. The One Day Max material, you know, is just, you know, amazing in its ability to maintain moisture, stay hydrated, you know, be consistent through a long and dynamic game, whether it be at the NFL level, whether it be at the youth sport level. But you don't want a lens to dehydrate and create problems in the middle of the game, right?
Great point.
You know, the blue blocking filter, again, it's, you know, we have 20% blue blocking in just about any pair of glasses we put on a patient, right? Because anything more than 20% is going to change things cosmetically. So a 60% blue blocking filter is massive.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, has applications beyond the whole blue light digital device conversation. That's night vision, man. That's seeing balls under the lights, you know, without the starburst, the glare, the reflection of things. So Max has been an awesome opportunity for us, and having the multifocal be available is truly the right option sometimes for those shooting sports. A lot of our coaches will wear Max multifocal because they're on the sideline. They want to see the game clearly, but they're looking at an iPad or some charts or something in front of them on the sideline. So coaches have loved that tool. But yeah, I mean, in general, it's got great optics. You know, what we want for our athletes is no different than what for our regular patients is a comfortable lens, clear, easy to use. And, you know, it doesn't get a whole heck of a lot easier than Max.
Hey, I love it, man. And it's a lens that, you know, dummies can fit in. Not calling any of my colleagues out there dummies, but I mean, you literally just use.
If I can do it, anybody can do it, man. I'm telling you.
Well, especially the multifocal option, because they got the fit calculator, man. You literally just plug the numbers in and it kicks out exactly what the patients need. And that first time success rate is super high, man. It's been an amazing lens option in my practice. You know, one other person that we definitely need to make sure, you know, you touched on the athletes, you touched on the coaches. We got to make sure that the referees are wearing this lens as well, right?
It depends on the day. You sort of feel like sometimes they are, and sometimes maybe they left them back in the hotel, man, right? So,
I love it.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. Unforgiving. I still on the sidelines give them a hard time every once in a while, man. You got to keep them on their toes, right?
Right. Yeah. Hey, man, I can't leave this podcast without, you know, diving into your experience with some of these athletes, man. If you could maybe share one or two or however many you like, you know, some of those precious moments, right? Because you're working with athletes that are, you know, winning championships, athletes that are taking it to the next level, athletes that we love and adore. So I'd love to know, you know, like, what is that interaction like? Or is there a special moment that you experienced that just kind of changed your life or changed your perspective of a sport? If you don't mind sharing that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, it's so much fun because, you know, these are athletes that have obviously reached a pinnacle in their career because of hard work and, you know, never giving up and, you know, learning all the life lessons that I think sport has to give. So, you know, it's a truly, you know, blessed and privileged opportunity that I have to meet some of these amazing people. And, you know, Daryl, you and I were talking about it earlier, man, nothing in life comes without hard work, right? So these people have done, you know, done the work and put in the hours and have reached those levels. You know, I think one of the things for me is I always, I think, harken back to those life lessons of sport and make sure that all of us as optometrists are making sure that the youth athlete we see tomorrow, you know, has that opportunity to be the next LeBron or the next, you know, whomever, right? So if you can't see at 8 years old and you're playing a game that you're not successful at, you're going to stop playing it, man.
Right.
So, I mean, you have the opportunity to change lives and really get people on the right foot by seeing their game clearer and staying in their game, which I think is, you know, a life-changing opportunity for us when you touch a youth athlete, right? So,
absolutely.
You know, that for me is kind of a passion. You know, the pro sports world is a blast, man. I mean, it's, look, I'm not going to say it's not the most fun thing in the universe to go hold up a giant silver trophy and win a championship ring. And I mean, it's awesome, man. This goes back 2000 for me in practice. So I have 5 world championship rings at this point, and it's, wow. You know, I got another hand to start up. So I'm not doing it anytime soon to give up on that. And I mean, there's nothing that beats taking your family in a World Series parade or, you know, holding up a trophy on the field with a bunch of players jumping up and down that have just reached the pinnacle of their career.
Awesome, man.
It's awesome, man. There's nothing that beats it. And again, they're incredible people. I think one of the things that, you know, people overlook is that these are larger than life individuals. And oh my gosh, you know, you had a chance to talk to, you know, X, Y, or Z. I mean, they're just people, dude. You know, I mean, they're people that, you know, want to be talked to as everyday people. They want to have a conversation about their family and what's going on in their game. And so, you know, building those relationships is something that's really near and dear to my heart. So I get a chance to work with these players when we first draft them. You know, I met Bryce Harper when he was 19, you know, we first drafted him in the league. He came in and was one of those kids that building the relationship builds the trust, right? So if they don't know who you are, they don't trust you when it matters.
Right.
So for me, going into the locker rooms, meeting them in spring training, doing a basic physical or whatever I might be doing, just gives you an opportunity to know my face and know that I'm there for you. I'm not trying to do something silly and get a ball signed or, you know, get a video done for my kid or something like that. But I'm there to do my part of the team to make sure that we're successful. Right. So the more they know me, the more they trust me, the more they say, hey, doc, you know, I don't feel like I'm seeing the ball well at night, or I'm having this thing with my left eye that feels a little off. And they'll pull me aside in the locker room. We'll talk about it. But if they don't know you, they don't trust you. And everybody's looking for a little something from these people. So if you're there for them and you're truly doing it for the right reasons, doors open, man.
I know that's right. And the cool thing is, when you really think about it, the optometrist is probably the most important piece of any athlete, right? Because with your eyes, you're able to see well. You're able to react to whatever sport or whatever ball or whatever thing, target that you may be looking at. So as optometrists, this is another arena that we really need to make sure that we step in and own and never let anyone else take advantage of it, right? you know, you've done all this work, right? And something that you touched on earlier was the name Sports Vision Pros. I'd love for you to maybe touch on that a little bit, because this is an opportunity I feel like that can help elevate all our colleagues out there that may feel a little nervous about jumping into the sports world, but a place where they can maybe have community and grow and be better at what they do day in and day out in that exam lane. So if you don't mind sharing a story behind that.
Yeah, I mean, Sports Vision Pros for me is sort of a passion project. SportsVisionPros.com was a global resource that was created by myself and three of my partners that were each the chair of the AOA Sports and Performance Vision Committee. So we sat at the head of the AOA talking to our colleagues about sports and performance vision. And so Dr. Horn, Dr. Cunningham, Dr. Nanasi, and I said, you know, one of the frustrations we had inside the circles of the AOA was it felt like the communication was sort of enclosed inside optometry circles. And, you know, our colleagues have access to those resources. You can go onto the AOA and learn some things on sports and performance vision. There's an educational resource on Sports Vision Pros. There's, you know, academy courses and things you can take. It is a completely free resource. It's designed to be sort of the Google of sports vision, so that if you have questions, go find it there. But truly what it turned into is an opportunity for us to get the communication outside the circles of optometry.
Yeah.
So what we do is we go to other conferences. We go to athletic trainers. We go to strength and conditioning coaches. We have direct to consumer educational content that talks to specifically the soccer mom, the athlete themselves, the coaches. And the goal is connecting the worlds of sports and vision. So if we connect the worlds of sports and vision, then people who have visual need will know that the best place to find it is inside of optometry, and go find an optometrist and say, hey, look, I learned about this new lens called Oasys Max on Sports Vision Pros. Can you tell me about it? It might be good for my game, I heard. Or I learned something about photochromic lens technologies and glasses, or, you know, eye tracking technologies or things like that. So, you know, it's dynamic. It's meant to, you know, continue to push out education through social media and all of our outlets, so that the athletes, the parents, the coaches, the trainers see this information. And to your point, know how valuable optometry is, and go find an optometrist that can deliver on those needs, and maybe bring into that optometrist that they learned something on Sports Vision Pros. And if the optometrist isn't as familiar with sports and performance vision as they maybe want to be, we have resources for them to kind of bump up their sports vision knowledge. So, you know, it was just a passion project for us to kind of connect two things that we all love, which was sports and vision. And our passion was to, you know, kind of grow that global community by getting the education outside of optometry.
I love it. And the team that you have is fantastic. I mean, every doctor that you name truly rock stars and truly is passionate about sports. So I love your team. I love the support that you're providing for us as eye care professionals. Everyone, check out sportsvisionpros.com. It's a valuable resource. It will help elevate your practice. Get a part of the community. Reach out to these doctors. Have them come in, consult with you, elevate your practice, increase your bottom line. There's a lot of opportunity that's out there. But to Keith's point earlier, you got to be able to communicate. You got to be able to have a conversation. You got to build that trust. And in order to build trust, you have to have a conversation with your patient. This has been fantastic, man. You know, you've dropped a lot of gems, a lot of great information, a lot of valuable resources to help us elevate our practice. You know, if you had to give one piece of advice to all the eye care professionals out there, what would that be, Dr. Smithson?
Yeah, so I always go back to, you know, Nike had a tagline they used years ago that said, everyone with a body is an athlete. So take that to heart. Everyone who walks into your exam room on Monday is an athlete. They all want to have their visual skills maximized because they're at the optometrist. They want to see their best, perform at their best in the dynamic environment they live in, whether it's, you know, in the NFL or whether it's working on three computer screens at work, going to soccer practice afterwards, getting into the gym after that. I mean, those are dynamic environments too, man, right? I mean, we talked about the word dynamic. So you have an opportunity to maximize visual skills. You know, we could get into that on a later podcast, talk more about those specific visual skills that I think we can maximize. But ultimately, you know, everyone with a body is an athlete. And if you're looking to maximize their performance for their needs every day, you're performing sports vision. Every one of you is, you know, so you can call yourself a sports vision doc on Monday. And we just got a whole bigger community, man.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. This has been fantastic. You're a rock star. And what I love is that you're truly an ambassador for iCare, right? You know, you really want to see our profession grow. You partner with organizations that want to see our profession grow. And you partner with the AOA to make sure that they have all the tools and resources to create more awareness about this wonderful world of sports vision. I want to thank you so much for being a part of this show. I want to thank Johnson & Johnson Vision for being partners with us as well. Just fantastic overall. Dr. Smithson, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best form of communication for them to reach out and take it to the next level?
Yeah, sportsvisionpros.com is our connection point. So my email's on there. Our connection points are on there. Use it as a resource. We'll have a lot of podcasts and webinars and things that we do from an educational standpoint for students, for colleagues, for, you know, specific athletic trainers, things like that. But look for things that you can jump onto. We have a lot of fun doing what we do, man, too. So it is a passion. I love what I do. I love optometry. We have an awesome opportunity to change lives in our profession. So, you know, help us to, you know, to help you. So, you know, reach out anytime, man. I'm happy to do it. Obviously, I love what I'd have to talk about, and it's a heck of a lot of fun, man.
All right, my man. Well, you know, we're going to definitely bring you back on the podcast. I can't wait to see that other hand full of rings. Thanks again for being on the show with us. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Stay healthy, stay positive, stay blessed, and until next time, peace.
Thanks for having me.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.